Thou shalt therefore manage, according to thy place, the war for thy prince and for the town of Mansoul, against the force and power of Diabolus, and at thy command shall the rest of the captains be. Chapter 16. Now the townsmen made to perceive what interest the captain had, both with the court, and also with the Lord Secretary and Mansoul. For no man before could speed when sent, nor bring such good news from Emmanuel as he. Wherefore, what do they, after some lamentation, that they made no more use of him in their distresses, but send by their subordinate creature to the Lord Secretary, to desire him that all that ever they were and had might be put under the government care, custody, and conduct of Captain Credence. So their preacher went and did his errand and received this answer from the mouth of his lord, that Captain Credence should be the great doer in all the king's army, against the king's enemies, and also for the welfare of Mansoul. So he bowed to the ground and thanked his lordship, and returned and told his news to the townfolk. But all this was done with all imaginable secrecy, because the foes had yet great strength in the town. But to return to our story again. When Diabolus saw himself thus boldly confronted by the Lord Mayor, and perceived the stoutness of Mr. Godly Fear, he fell into a rage, and forthwith called a council of war, that he might be revenged on Mansoul. So all the princes of the pit came together, and old Incredulity at the head of them, with all the captains of his army. So they consult what to do. Now the effect and conclusion of the council that day was how they might take the castle, because they could not conclude themselves masters of the town so long as that was in the possession of their enemies. So one advised this way and another advised that. But when they could not agree in their verdict, Apollyon, that president of the council, stood up, and thus he began. My brotherhood, quoth he, I have two things to propound unto you, and my first is this. Let us withdraw ourselves from the town into the plain again, for our presence here will do us no good, because the castle is yet in our enemy's hands. Nor is it possible that we should take that, so long as so many brave captains are in it, and that this bold fellow, Godly Fear, is made the keeper of the gates of it. Now when we have withdrawn ourselves into the plain, they of their own accord will be glad of some little ease, and it may be of their own accord they again may begin to be remiss, and even their so being will give them a bigger blow than we can possibly give them ourselves. But if that should fail, our going forth of the town may draw the captains out after us, and you know what it cost them when we fought them in the field before. Besides, can we but draw them out into the field, we may lay an ambush behind the town, which shall, when they are come forth abroad, rush in and take possession of the castle. But Beelzebub stood up and replied, saying, It is impossible to draw them all off from the castle. Some, you may be sure, will lie there to keep that. Wherefore, it will be but in vain thus to attempt, unless we were sure that they will all come out. He therefore concluded that what was done must be done by some other means, and the most likely means that the greatest of their heads could invent was that which Apollyon had advised to before, namely to get the townsmen again to sin. For, said he, it is not our being in the town, nor in the field, nor our fighting, nor our killing of their men, that can make us the masters of Mansoul. For so long as one in the town is able to lift up his finger against us, Emmanuel will take their parts. And if he shall take their parts, we know what time of day it will be with us. Wherefore, for my part, quoth he, there is, in my judgment, no way to bring them into bondage to us, like inventing a way to make them sin. Had we, said he, left all our doubters at home, we had done as well as we have done now, unless we could have made them the masters and governors of the castle. For doubters at a distance are but like objections refelled with arguments. Indeed, can we but get them into the hold, and make them possessors of that, the day will be our own. Let us therefore withdraw ourselves into the plain, not expecting that the captains in Mansoul should follow us. But yet, I say, let us do this, And before we do so, let us advise again with our trusty Diabolonians that are yet in their holds of Mansoul, and set them to work to betray the town to us, for they indeed must do it, or it will be left undone forever. By these sayings of Beelzebub, for I think it was he that gave this counsel, the whole conclave was forced to be of his opinion, namely that the way to get the castle was to get the town to sin. Then they fell to inventing by what means they might do this thing. Then Lucifer stood up and said, "The counsel of Beelzebub is pertinent. Now the way to bring this to pass, in my opinion, is this. Let us withdraw our force from the town of Mansoul. Let us do this and let us terrify them no more, either with summons or threats or with the noise of our drum or any other awakening means. Only let us lie in the field at a distance and be as if we regarded them not. For frights, I see, do but awaken them and make them more stand to their arms. I have also another stratagem in my head. You know Mansoul is a market town and a town that delights in commerce. What, therefore, if some of our Diabolonians shall feign themselves far countrymen, and shall go out and bring to the market of Mansoul some of our wares to sell? And what matter at what rate they sell their wares, though it be but for half the worth? Now let those that thus shall trade in their market be those that are witty and true to us, and I will lay my crown to pawn it will do. There are two that are come to my thoughts already that I think will be arch at this work, and they are Mr. Penny Wise Pound Foolish and Mr. Get of the Hundred and Lose of the Shire, nor is this man with the long name at all inferior to the others. What also if you join with them Mr. Sweet World and Mr. Present Good? They are men that are civil and cunning, but are true friends and helpers. Let these, with as many more, engage in this business for us. And let Mansoul be taken up in much business, and let them grow full and rich. And this is the way to get ground of them. Remember ye not that thus we prevailed upon Laodicea, and how many at present do we hold in this snare? Now when they begin to grow full, they will forget their misery, and if we shall not affright them, they may happen to fall asleep, and so be got to neglect their town watch, their castle watch, as well as their watch at the gates. Yea, may we not, by this means, so encumber Mansoul with abundance, that they shall be forced to make of their castle a warehouse, instead of a garrison fortified against us, and a receptacle for men of war. Thus, if we get our goods and commodities thither, I reckon that the castle is more than half ours. Besides, could we do so order it that it shall be filled with such kind of wares, then if we made a sudden assault upon them, it would be hard for the captains to take shelter there. Do you not know that of the parable, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word? And again, when the heart is overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of life, this mischief comes upon them at unawares. Furthermore, my lord, quoth he, you very well know that it is not easy for a people to be filled with our things, and not to have some of our Diabolonians as retainers to their houses and services. Where is a Mansoulian that is full of this world, that has not for his servants and waiting men Mr. Profuse, or Mr. Prodigality, or some other of our Diabolonian gang, as Mr. Voluptuous, Mr. Pragmatical, Mr. Ostentation, or the like? Now these can take the castle of Mansoul, or blow it up, or make it unfit for a garrison for Emmanuel, and any of these will do. Yea, these, for aught I know, may do it for us sooner than any army of 20,000 men. Wherefore, to the end as I began, my advice is that we quietly withdraw ourselves, not offering any further force or forcible attempts upon the castle, at least at this time, and let us set on foot our new project, and let us see if that will not make them destroy themselves. This advice was highly applauded by them all and was accounted the very masterpiece of hell, namely, to choke Mansoul with the fullness of this world, and to surfeit her heart with the good things thereof, but see how things meet together. Just as this Diabolonian council was broken up, Captain Credence received a letter from Emmanuel, the contents of which were these: that upon the third day he would meet him in the field in the plains about Mansoul. "Meet me in the field," quoth the captain. "What meaneth my lord by this?" "I know not what he meaneth by meeting in the field." So he took the note in his hand and did carry it to my lord's secretary to ask his thoughts thereupon. For my lord was a seer in all matters concerning the king, and also for the good and comfort of the town of Mansoul. So he showed my lord the note, and desired his opinion thereof. "For my part," quoth Captain Credence, "I know not the meaning thereof." So my lord did take and read it, and after a little pause he said, "The Diabolonians have had against Mansoul a great consultation today. They have, I say, this day been contriving the utter ruin of the town, and the result of their counsel is to set Mansoul into such a way which, if taken, will surely make her destroy herself. And to this end they are making ready for their own departure out of the town, intending to betake themselves to the field again, and there to lie till they shall see whether this their project will take or no. But be thou ready with the men of thy lord, for on the third day they will be in the plain, there to fall upon the Diabolonians, for the prince will by that time be in the field. Yea, by that it is break of day, sun rising or before, and that with a mighty force against them. So he shall be before them, and thou shalt be behind them, and betwixt you both their army shall be destroyed. When Captain Credence heard this, away goes he to the rest of the captains, and tells them what a note he had a while since received from the hand of Emmanuel. "And," said he, "that which was dark therein hath my lord the Lord Secretary expounded unto me." He told them, moreover, what by himself and by them must be done to answer the mind of their lord. Then were the captains glad, and Captain Credence commanded that all the king's trumpeters should ascend to the battlements of the castle, and there in the audience of Diabolus and of the whole town of Mansoul, make the best music that heart could invent. The trumpeters then did as they were commanded. They got themselves up to the top of the castle, and thus they began to sound. Then did Diabolus start and said, "What can be the meaning of this? That they neither sound boot and saddle, nor horse and away, nor a charge. What do these madmen mean, that yet they should be so merry and glad?" Then answered him one of themselves and said, "This is for joy that their Prince Emmanuel is coming to relieve the town of Mansoul, that to this end he is at the head of an army, and that his relief is near." The men of Mansoul also were greatly concerned at this melodious charm of the trumpets. They said, "Yea," they answered one another, saying, "This can be no harm to us. Surely this can be no harm to us." Then said the Diabolonians, "What had we best to do?" And it was answered, "It was best to quit the town." "And that," said one, "ye may do in pursuance of your last counsel, and by so doing also be better able to give the enemy battle, should an army from without come upon us." So on the second day they withdrew themselves from Mansoul, and abode in the plains without, but they encamped themselves before Igate, in that terrene and terrible manner they could. The reason why they would not abide in the town, besides the reasons that were debated in their late conclave, was for that they were not possessed of the stronghold, and because, said they, "We shall have more convenience to fight, and also to fly, if need be, when we are encamped in the open plains. Besides, the town would have been a pit for them rather than a place of defense, had the prince come up and enclosed them fast therein. Therefore they took themselves to the field, that they might also be out of the reach of the slings, by which they were much annoyed all the while that they were in the town." Well, the time that the captains were to fall upon the Diabolonians being come, they eagerly prepared themselves for action. For Captain Credence had told the captains overnight that they should meet their prince in the field tomorrow. This, therefore, made them yet far more desirous to be engaging the enemy. For, "You shall see the prince in the field tomorrow," was like oil to a flaming fire. for of a long time they had been at a distance. They therefore were for this the more earnest and desirous of the work. So as I said, the hour being come, Captain Credence with the rest of the men of war drew out their forces before it was day by the sally port of the town. And being all ready, Captain Credence went up to the head of the army and gave to the rest of the captains the word. So they to their under officers and soldiers. The word was, the sword of the Prince Emmanuel and the shield of Captain Credence, which is, in the Mansolian tongue, the word of God and faith. Then the captains fell on and began roundly to front and flank and rear Diabolus' camp. Now they left Captain Experience in the town because he was yet ill of his wounds, which the Diabolonians had given him in the last fight. But when he perceived that the captains were at it, what does he but, calling for his crutches with haste, gets up, and away he goes to the battle, saying, shall I lie here when my brethren are in the fight, and when Emmanuel the prince will show himself in the field to his servants? But when the enemy saw the man come with his crutches, they were daunted yet the more. For, thought they, what spirit has possessed these Mansolians, that they fight us upon their crutches? Well, the captains, as I said, fell on and did bravely handle their weapons, still crying out and shouting as they laid on blows, the sword of the Prince Emmanuel and the shield of Captain Credence. Now when Diabolus saw that the captains were come out, and that so valiantly they surrounded his men, he concluded that, for the present, nothing from them was to be looked for but blows, and the dints of their two-edged sword. Wherefore, he also falls on upon the prince's army with all his deadly force. So the battle was joined. Now, who was it that at first Diabolus met with in the fight, but Captain Credence on the one hand, and the Lord Wilbewill on the other? Now, Wilbewill's blows were like the blows of a giant, for that man had a strong arm, and he fell in upon the election doubters, for they were the lifeguard of Diabolus. And he kept them in play a good while, cutting and battering shrewdly. Now when Captain Credence saw my lord engaged, he did stoutly fall on the other hand, upon the same company also. So they put them to great disorder. Now Captain Goodhope had engaged the vocation doubters, and they were sturdy men, but the captain was a valiant man. Captain Experience did also send him some aid. So he made the vocation doubters to retreat. The rest of the armies were hotly engaged, and that on every side, and the Diabolonians did fight stoutly. Then did my lord secretary command that the slings from the castle should be played, and his men could throw stones at an hair's breadth. But after a while, those that were made to fly before the captains of the prince did begin to rally again, and they came up stoutly upon the rear of the prince's army. Wherefore the prince's army began to faint, but remembering that they should see the face of their prince by and by, they took courage, and a very fierce battle was fought. Then shouted the captain, saying, the sword of the Prince Emmanuel and the shield of Captain Credence. And with that Diabolus gave back, thinking that more aid had been come. But no Emmanuel as yet appeared. Moreover, the battle did hang in doubt, and they made a little retreat on both sides. Now in the time of respite, Captain Credence bravely encouraged his men to stand to it, and Diabolus did the like as well as he could. But Captain Credence made a brave speech to his soldiers, the contents whereof here follow. Gentlemen soldiers, and my brethren in this design, it rejoiceth me much to see in the field for our prince this day so stout and so valiant an army, and such faithful lovers of man's soul. You have hitherto, as hath become you, shown yourselves men of truth and courage against the Diabolonian forces,